Did you hear our good news? Smash Boombast, Forever Ago, and Charm Words were all nominated for Webby Awards, and we need your help to win. You can vote for us at brainson.org/vote. Thank you so much.
From the brains behind Brains On, it's Smash Boom Best,
the show for people with big opinions.
Hello, I'm Molly Bloom, and this is Smash Boom Best, the show where we take two things, smash them together, and ask you to decide which one is best. One of my favorite things about making this show is all of the debate ideas you, our listeners, come up with. Hundreds and hundreds of them. Some are funny, some are surprising, and some are downright thought-provoking.
My debate idea is beach versus mountains.
Cookies versus cake.
Bikes versus motorcycles.
Hummus versus guacamole.
Skiing versus snowboarding.
Ice cream versus bacon.
Pancakes versus waffles.
Teleportation versus time travel.
Today we are tackling not one, not two, no, not even just three, but four debates suggested by our listeners. We're calling these short, high-octane debates mini-booms, which makes this our first ever mini-boom bonanza. To help us judge each debate, we're joined by Ty Poole, host of the amazing podcast Ty Asks Why from CBC Podcasts. How's it going, Ty?
Things are great. Thanks so much for letting me be on this podcast, Molly.
Well, thank you for being here. So, Ty, can you tell us a little bit about Ty Asks Why?
Well, my podcast is basically me, and I have a question, and it eats me up inside, so I decide to just take action and search the world, but mainly the general Toronto area, for answers.
That's really awesome. Well, it is a great show, so everyone go check out Ty Asks Why. So I need to ask, do you ever get into debates in your day-to-day life?
Yes, I'm a very spirited debater.
So who are you debating with?
It's mostly just friends. One of the biggest ones for when you're in like grade 4, 5, and 6 is which one's better, gym or recess? This one, I remember arguing about this every gym period and every recess period. And I'm like, guys, let's take a break. Let's actually enjoy this. They're like, no, we have to resolve this. So
where do you fall in that debate, gym versus recess?
I kind of like recess because it's like gym, but you can do whatever you want and you can go outside and you're not being graded on it.
Good point. So do you have a strategy for winning debates?
Persistence. It's like, Ty, it's 3 a.m. No, I still think recess is better.
Never give up. Well, you are going to be a great judge for today's bonanza. Here's how it's going to go down. We asked 7 high school debaters to tackle these mini booms for us. They're all members of the Minnesota Urban Debate League. For this special episode, every matchup or mini boom is just 1 round of debate and 1 30-second rebuttal for each side. We recorded the mini booms in a studio together, so you'll hear our debaters cheering each other on. Ty, you'll listen closely, weigh the merits of each debater's arguments, and then crown the winner. Listeners, we want to know who you think won too. Head to our website, smashboom.org, and vote after the episode. And if you get really inspired, write your own declaration of greatness for your favorite side and send it to us. All right, Ty, are you ready to get this party started?
Yeah, debate party. I thought it was going to be like a really boring debate meeting, but no.
Let the mega mini boom bonanza begin.
Smash. Boom. Best.
First up, we've got spring versus fall. This debate idea was sent to us by Ellie, Bear, and River from Round Hill, Virginia.
I think fall would win because it's pretty when the leaves fall off of the trees.
I think spring would win because I really like bugs and the bugs come back in spring.
I think spring would win because I like the flowers and they're pretty on the ground.
So, Ty, do you already have an opinion about which season is better than the other?
Well, I was born in the fall, so that creates a little bit of bias. I feel like all the leaves change and they fall and it makes all the mulch. And you get Halloween, guys. Halloween's pretty good. I always feel like spring's like the wet underbelly of summer.
You're very persuasive for fall, and I'm never going to forget the wet underbelly of summer ever again. Well, Mason and Zach from Highland Park High School in St. Paul, Minnesota, took on this seasonal standoff.
My name is Mason, and today I'm going to be arguing in support of spring, the season, not the verb.
I'm Zach. I will be arguing in favor of autumn.
Let's hear Mason's take on sweet-smelling spring.
I'm a Minnesotan, and if there's one thing we dislike more than Chicago, it probably has to be the cold weather that we are subjected to every winter. So why would anyone in their right mind consider fall, a notably more frigid season, to be superior to the beautiful and much warmer spring? Spring is not only better temperature and vitamin D-wise, but is also the time of birth and new life. All around us, we can see adorable baby animals taking their first steps, insects hatching, and plants poking their heads timidly from the ground. While in fall, animals begin to hibernate, the insects die, and so do most of the plants. How morbid is that? Spring is also much more fun. Despite the fact that fall claims maybe like a fourth of the debate season, most activities that occur during autumn are absolutely awful. Football, it's more like a concussion contest. Soccer, just another snooze fest. And the cult known as cross country starts mobilizing. But perhaps worst of all, fall is a season in which your freedom is stripped from you and you are forced to return to school. Spring contains exciting sports. It's the time when classes start winding down and you're released from the shackles and you can return to the wonderfully temperate world of spring.
So, Ty, tell us what you think so far. Any arguments from spring that stuck out to you?
Well, it was actually really, really well put together. I really like the thought that fall's when school starts and spring's when school ends. I'm a big advocate of not going to school for 10 months. Like, 2 months, I'm down. 10 months, way too much. And I just felt like he did a really good job with explaining, you know, how spring is kind of like it opens up opportunities.
I agree. Now, let's hear Zach's rebuttal.
Okay, so first, whoa there, cowboy. Let's get some facts down in here. Spring is actually colder than fall. It has an average temperature across the United States of something like 50 degrees, whereas fall is as high as 59. And, I mean, that's not to say anything of just how icky all of spring is with, like, its allergies and all of those terrible little, like, you say the bugs hatching and mosquitoes and cicadas are all great.
There's some cute bugs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really, there's some cute bugs. Well, there's some cute bugs in fall, too.
All right. Well, let's hear if Zach can persuade you back to autumn. Let's hear it.
The first thing I want to say is that autumn is the best season. I mean, what kind of name is fall? But autumn, that's awesome. It's nothing like spring or summer or those other dull season names. But on to the real awesomeness, the best part of autumn, the holidays. Fall is a fantastic time of celebration. According to a CBS poll, the most popular non-religious holidays? Thanksgiving and Halloween. What does spring have? St. Patrick's Day? Ha, who cares? Thanksgiving has amazing food like turkey and stuffing and pies, and Halloween has oodles of candy and costumes and fun with your friends. But autumn's weather is what makes it so amazing. The leaves are fantastic to look at, and that's before raking them into an epic pile and jumping in it. There are also many opportunities for fun with picking pumpkins or apples, which are most tasty in the fall, or doing a corn maze. It's pretty clear. Spring's gotta take the fall. Ya autumn vote for me.
That was awesome.
That was really good with a pun at the end and everything. So, Ty, what did you think about Autumn's argument that stood out to you?
Again, pun was brilliant. Like, 15 points just to Autumn just for that. And, you know, who doesn't like Thanksgiving and Halloween, guys? Boom, you get to eat a big chicken, get to have a half day for some of you. And for Halloween, you get to stay up late and eat candy.
It's true. But maybe Mason's rebuttal will change your mind. And go.
Despite some brilliant puns you just made there, there's actually a lot to dislike about fall. First of all, a lot of the food that is best in fall, because we have GMOs now, is available throughout the entire year, so we can enjoy it even in spring. Additionally, spring is definitely a better name. It's way more positive. It's all about springing forward and progressivism. But fall is just like, there's so many bad things related to fall, like falling off a cliff, falling in love. Those are all like icky and disgusting.
Falling in love is bad?
Yes.
What's wrong with falling in love?
Lots of different things. Having a significant other, I can't imagine how terrible that would be.
All very fun things. So, Ty, it is time to make a decision. Who are you going to crown the Smash Boom Best of this spring versus fall debate?
You know what? I think that I'm going to have to give this championship to spring.
A twist ending. I was not expecting that. So, Ty, can you tell us why spring pulled ahead?
I was really intrigued by the concept that spring opens opportunities and fall closes them. So
you were swayed by Mason's argument. All right. We want to know who you think should have won, too, listeners. Head to smashboom.org and vote. Ty, one down. Three more mini booms to go. Are you ready?
Oh, God. I thought that was it. Oh, God. I'm so not prepared. I need to get a drink of water. Oh, God. I'm freaking out. No, I'm ready.
Okay. Excellent. Next up, we have the undead going head to muzzle with furry fiends. Zombies versus werewolves. Do you already have a stronger passion for one of these creatures?
I don't know. I always thought zombies were kind of interesting and werewolves just kind of seemed just kind of lackluster. Werewolves are just like, boom, moon strikes, you get hairy, you get clawsy. I think it's just kind of cool that like zombies are like infected with a pathogen.
Got it. Well, we invited Maddie and Cassie from Central High School in St. Paul, Minnesota to take on this frightening assignment.
I'm Maddie and I'm way for Team Zombie.
My name's Cassie, and I'm definitely voting for werewolves.
All right, Maddie is up first. Let's hear her defense of those salivating, brain-hungry creatures we call zombies.
Zombies. One of the classic monsters. Super cool, good spooky appeal, and they have a refined palate. Only brains for them, so you know they have good taste. Us picky eaters in the world can really relate. And everyone feels like a zombie some of the time. If you have to wake up really early, that's feeling like a zombie time. If you're really bored, feeling like a zombie time. Most importantly, zombies come in a million different flavors. There are all sorts of zombies. Walking ones, running ones, some that can work together, and some that are happier hunting for brains alone. There are zombies who don't even know they're zombies yet.
Huh?
In any zombie apocalypse you happen to find yourself in, there's always going to be a new kind of undead friend right around the corner. And isn't that lovely? Zombies are the monster you can relate to, and they have a billion different kinds to choose from. And that is why they're always going to be better than a werewolf, who's only one kind of monster a couple of nights out of the month.
So Ty, what did you think about Maddie's tribute to zombies?
First of all, oof to werewolves. And yeah, I have always liked the concept of a zombie apocalypse. Always so cool. I was really, really intrigued by that. That was very powerful.
All right. Well, let's hear what Cassie has to say in her rebuttal.
Okay, so you keep talking about how zombies have all of these different flavors, but really doesn't that mean you can't specialize in any zombie specifically? You're not arguing about one type. You don't really get to understand how the zombie feels. You're not really thinking about them as a friend. You're thinking about them as an enemy. In these zombie apocalypses, are you even trying to talk to them? Most of the time, you're trying to run away. And what about when you become a zombie? You're not thinking, so you're not really getting to interact with each other. So really, it's not actually that great to be a zombie. You don't get to think about other people. You don't think about them.
Time!
Oh, a round of applause for Cassie. Well, let's hear what she has to say in her declaration of greatness about werewolves.
You know what sounds like the coolest thing in the world? Getting to turn into a super strong, super fast, super scary wolf. Boom, that's a werewolf. And a lot of werewolves are stronger and faster in their human form, too. With that kind of power, you definitely win a few races. Being a werewolf means you also only have to deal with being supernatural a few times a year. And the rest of the time, it's super easy to blend in with everyone else. That means you can go undercover with your human friends. Not so true if you're a zombie. Plus, werewolves are way more interesting than any other classic monster. Why? Because so little has been explored. Why are they linked to the full moon? Why turn into a wolf instead of, like, a bear? There's way more fresh ideas with werewolves than overdone zombies. Everyone knows Minecraft and The Walking Dead. Werewolves, though, that's the final frontier of classic horror. So, let's go howl at the moon and vote werewolf.
So, Ty, what did you think about that declaration of greatness?
The wording of that was awesome, first of all. And second of all, I'm now going to get nightmares about werewolves.
Yeah, werewolves. Definitely not a movie I would want to see. Let's hear Maddie's rebuttal.
Why go undercover with your friends when you can bite them and be monsters with them? Just be monsters with your friends. Be monsters with the whole world. Spread zombies everywhere and have a good time while you're at it. But if you're a werewolf, you better say goodbye to any jewelry, cool coins, anything that's made with silver. With a zombie, you do not have to worry about that. All the earrings you want, you've got it. Not to mention something you maybe forgot, wet dog smell. You will never get used to it. You're cursed to a life of every single month having the wet dog smell of your life.
Fierce rebuttal. Okay. Ty, time to take it all into account. Think about the rebuttals, the declaration of greatness, and time to select a winner. Who takes the prize for this one? Zombies or werewolves?
Well, Molly, I think this time I'm going to have to go with zombies.
Tell us why. Tell us what won you over.
I don't know. I feel like there's never going to be a werewolf apocalypse. Mm. If you're a zombie, you could still, like, have friends and, like, a weird Twilight-esque thing.
Mm-hmm.
There may be untapped potential in werewolves, but I feel like the things we have about zombies are pretty cool.
Very good point. And maybe werewolves are untapped because maybe they're not as cool.
They're not tap-worthy.
They're not tap-worthy. Well, Zombies takes home the title this time, but listeners, who do you think is cooler? Go to smashboom.org and vote.
And stay tuned. We'll be right back after our halftime break.
You're watching State of Debate, home to raging rhetoric and awe-inspiring argumentation.
Taylor Lincoln here with 10-time debate champ Todd Douglas.
Indeedy doody, Taylor, and we captured an unbelievable debate earlier between two gardeners arguing about which is cooler, cactuses or orchids.
Who are you rooting for? Get it? Root?
Oh, man, Taylor, that one's growing on me.
Oh!
Get it? Growing.
I got it. Yeah.
Roll the tape.
Cactuses are obviously the better houseplant. They're super easy to take care of because you barely have to water them.
If you don't have to water them, why bother having them? Relationships take work, Lisa.
Whatever. I bought an orchid once and it died in 2 days. Orchids are impossible to keep alive. Impossible.
Impossible?
She only had one orchid.
Once.
How does she know they're impossible to keep alive?
She doesn't, Taylor. Lisa's making a hasty generalization.
That's when you jump to a conclusion.
Before you have enough evidence to support it.
Hasty generalizations are a classic logical fallacy. Logical fallacies are common mistakes people make when they're debating.
They make it super easy for your opponent to take your argument out.
So, did Lisa bounce back from her hasty generalization?
Let's check it out.
Not impossible, Lisa. You just have to pay attention and they'll thrive.
Okay, they're not impossible to keep alive. They're just really, really fussy. You need to fertilize them every other week, keep them in well-drained soil and indirect light. Cactuses? Forget about them and they'll be fine. Some of them barely need sunlight.
Way better. Lisa really rose to the occasion. You grow, girl.
Remember to weed all those hasty generalizations out of your arguments, debate heads.
Oh, and always make sure you have evidence to support your claim.
Tune in next time for State of Debate.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Best.
Boom. Smash. Smash. Boom.
Best.
This is Smash Boom Best,
the show about showdowns.
I'm your host, Molly Bloom, and this is our judge for the day, Ty Poole.
Hello.
Before we get back to our mini boom bonanza, let's talk with Alex DeMar, a middle school debate coach for the Minnesota Urban Debate League and a teacher at Minneapolis Public Schools.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
So we asked Ty to tell us about a real debate from his life so he can get some debate coaching. Ty, what is your debate of the day?
Well, I've had this one way too many times, so I think this is a good opportunity for me to refine this so I can finally crush my enemies, just squish them under my thumb. What's the better way to get to school, walking or public transit?
What side are you on, Ty?
I take the bus, but that's just because I sleep in. I wish I could walk every day.
Okay, so even though you take the bus a lot, you still think walking is better. So
yeah.
Give us your best argument for walking to school.
Well, I take public transit and I still like walking better. If you walk for the entirety of the school year, you can see the seasons change. There's so many different routes to take. It all looks so new. There's so much variety. Public transit is just, it's crowded, very unreliable. I'll just be like, oh, just check the times. Okay, the one bus comes in 20 minutes, and then every bus after that's like 1 minute apart. Exercise, breath of fresh air. It's beautiful. It's so much better than public transit. Trust me. I've done both sides, and walking is far superior.
Very nicely done, Ty. So, Alex, in what ways was Ty's argument effective?
Well, I think one of the most important things is that he did a really good job of summing up his thoughts at the end. It's really easy to forget what someone said by the time they're done with their argument. So I thought that was really effective. And in addition to that, I liked that he gave multiple reasons why. So even if someone was like, well, I don't like walking outside because I don't care about the seasons. They're like, but you know what? Public transit is really crowded and I hate it when it's late. So I think both those things added a lot.
And how might I be able to improve my argument?
So I think one of the biggest ways to improve your argument is by starting by thinking about what you know your opponents are going to say back to you. One of the most powerful things that you can say in a debate is even if. So like, even if it's bad weather outside and you don't want to walk, there are umbrellas, there are rain boots. And then I'd say the other thing that you could do to really make your argument even pack more of a punch is just organizing it in a way that is a little bit more structured. So you did a really good job of like touching on all those points. And I loved all of your little flourishes and ways to make it sound more engaging, but adding a little bit more organization. So it's really clear to whoever's listening, like, oh, here are the 3 points Ty made. That would really help people be able to like listen and absorb your point.
Yeah. So what are some common mistakes for the listeners that you tell your debate teams to try to avoid? Some common ones, you know, like don't forget to drop all your cue cards and then just start crying and spontaneously catch flame on stage, stuff like that.
Well, that happens to all of us, right?
Has to happen at least once in our lives.
Yes, of course. Character building. I think one of the biggest things, speaking of listeners, is sometimes kids forget to listen to what their opponents are saying. They're really focused on their point and how amazing they think their side of the argument is. And that's awesome. But if the other side goes up and states their points that they also think are super awesome and you don't have anything to say back because you weren't listening, you weren't paying attention, you weren't taking notes, it's going to be really hard for you to feel successful and to succeed when you go up to counter their argument and bring yours forward.
So, do you have any parting wisdom for us, wise debate mentor?
Confidence is key. And that sounds scary, especially when you're just starting. Like, well, if I'm not confident, how am I just supposed to magically be confident? But really, just getting up there, standing up straight, speaking up, that's going to be one of the hardest things you learn how to do. And once you get there, it's going to be so much easier for all the rest of that stuff to fall into place. So just believe in yourself. You can do it. Every single person up there has had a moment where they've felt like they were going to drop all their cue cards and catch on fire. But you know what? They came out of it and they were fine. And you will be too.
Alex, that is really good advice. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Of course. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, now back to our mini boom battles. Next up, rats versus pigeons. Ty, are you ready to learn about these pesky vermin?
Yeah.
Do you think one is cooler than the other already?
They're both gross. Let's get that out of the way. But I feel like pigeons are just kind of like, they're just like old school gross. You know, they're like, they pooped on me. But rats, they live in the sewers. They teach turtles to fight and get awesome. And then they'll like form packs and they'll make the rat kings.
Very good point. Yeah, I'm with you. I think pigeons are kind of gross. But let's see what Simon and Isabel from Washburn High School in Minneapolis, Minnesota have to say about it. Isabel is up first, defending those tenacious, bewhiskered furballs we call rats.
All right, let me tell you about my favorite animal in the universe, rats. Rats are secretly way cooler than people give them credit for. Rats are cool because they can adapt to almost any habitat and can even go without water for longer than a camel can. Some of the habitats I see rats in a lot are city streets, my high school cafeteria, and even in people's houses as pets. Rats make really good pets, like hamsters or guinea pigs. They're soft and you can pet them. And they also like to sit on your shoulders while you do stuff, almost like you're a real-life pirate. Rats are also a lot like people. They like a lot of the cool stuff that we love, like pizza. You could get a pizza and some friend rats and have a super cool pizza party with all of your rat buddies. There are also the fictional rats you know and love, like Mr. Ratburn from Arthur.
I thought I'd better bring you the spring reading. Oh, are you having cake?
Mr. Ratburn is a really good teacher, which shows that rats know a lot of cool things and they can teach us about them. One study from Harvard found that rats can sometimes even be smarter than humans. I love rats because they can do so many things. They can be teachers, friends, and pets. This is why I think they're the coolest animal.
Wow, Isabel coming with facts and some humor. Ty, what did you think about Isabel's ode to rats?
Well, I feel like if you, like, have a pizza party and you have to share with rats, you might want to just, like, just fix your decisions a little bit.
Maybe that wasn't the best argument.
Have a rat pizza party. It's like, well, no wonder you don't have any friends there. You're sharing your pizza with rats.
Well, let's hear Simon's rebuttal.
Everyone knows the saying, pigeons are like rats with wings. That seems like an upgrade to me. Pigeons are capable of all of the cool things that rats can do, plus fly faster than a car. A rat pizza party sounds cool and all, but imagine if a pigeon delivered your pizza and ate it with you too. Sounds pretty cool, right? Pigeons are speedy and heroic, making them the coolest animal around.
Well done, Simon. Let's hear his declaration of greatness about pigeons.
Pigeons blow away the competition when it comes to coolness. The first reason is that pigeons can fly and deliver messages. Have you ever wanted to call your friend or send them a funny picture, but didn't have a phone? Tie it to a pigeon's leg and send it away. Also, pigeons are capable of all sorts of cool stuff. They have been known to play ping pong and ride the subway, but they can't, under any circumstances, drive buses. Pigeons are also super fast. They have been recorded flying at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour, which is faster than a speeding car.
Catch that pigeon!
Pigeons can be very heroic. One pigeon saved an American infantry division that was trapped behind enemy lines in World War I, giving them a message to people who could help them. In conclusion, pigeons are far cooler than the flightless and dim-witted rats because of their speedy and heroic actions.
Time!
Surprisingly heroic pigeons. Ty, what did you think of Simon's declaration of greatness?
That was awesome. Like, I like how they're fast, they're speedy. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to try to appeal to you. Pigeons are cool, and I'm going to prove it with my panache.
Exactly. Let's hear Isabel's rebuttal.
Let's get straight to the facts. Pigeons aren't the brightest. Would you rather have an intelligent companion to share your pizza with or a bird to poop all over it? Because pigeons poop on everything. They might be able to get around faster, but that doesn't make them good friends. Rats, on the other hand, bond closely with their friends, which when it comes down to it is way more important and cooler than speed. Also, we have owls from Harry Potter to deliver letters, so your pigeons, not necessary.
Time!
All right, Ty, it is time to make your judgment. Which animal is the smash boom best, rats or pigeons?
I'm going to give this one to the rats.
Tell us why.
It was a roller coaster of emotions. I was really, really, really excited about rats. But then I felt like pigeons really, really just brought it through for me. You know, with the messengers, now they're fast, smart, and good companions. But I don't know. I just had to go with rats.
I got it. Well, listeners, do you agree or disagree? Go to smashboom.org and vote. And now for our final debate of the day, breakfast versus dinner. This idea was sent to us from Tim in Gillette, New Jersey. Let's see who he thinks will win this debate.
I think breakfast will win because you can eat breakfast in bed.
Breakfast in bed is a delightful treat. Ty, which meal do you think is the coolest?
I don't really know. I don't think I have an opinion for this because they're both really good. Dinner is like the best meal of the day, the biggest, the tastiest, most time to prepare. But at the same time, breakfast is really good because when you wake up, your mouth's like, ugh, I'm parched. Time to eat food. So I don't know. Give me an opinion, guys.
Yeah, very tough. Well, let's see what Amy from Southwest High School has to say. She is here to defend dinner. And Maddie from Central High School is touting breakfast. Let's start with Amy and team dinner.
What do you think about when I say the word dinner? Pizza, pasta, tacos, whatever it is, I know your mouth is watering. Why? Because dinner is the best meal of the day. Countless studies show that families who eat dinner together are better together. Improved academics, higher self-esteem, and lower depression rates are all benefits of eating dinner as a family just a few times a week. Do y'all hear something? Oh, that's just lunch crying about how much cooler dinner is. There's also studies that show how great dinner is for your body and physical life. Looking to get ripped this summer?
Yeah!
Eating protein and carbs before sleep can help you gain muscle. Looking to stop those scary nightmares?
Uh-huh!
Eating some types of carbs during dinner has been linked to better dreaming. Looking to solve all your problems? Eat dinner! Dinner can be literally anything your heart desires, which makes it different from other meals. Can you see yourself crunching on french fries for breakfast? Digging into an apple pie for lunch? I don't think so. But can you eat cereal and sandwiches for dinner? Yeah. Other meals can be skipped or forgotten about. Skipping dinner feels like a betrayal to your stomach. Why would you skip the best meal of the day? I know I wouldn't, because dinner is the bomb. Ty!
Fighting words from Amy there. So, Ty, what did you think about her declaration of greatness about dinner?
It was very passionate, I'll say that much. I also like, you know, how dinner has a lot more variety. So,
definitely. It was a very well-organized argument. Very logical. Let's hear Maddie's rebuttal.
All right, here's the biggest problem with dinner. You do not get the same level of breakfast food. Sure, you can try and have breakfast for dinner, but are you going to get the experience of seeing the sun rise over your backyard of like a few feet and get a few bites of cereal, pancakes, bacon, everything your heart desires? No, you're going to be stuck around a tiny dining table with the sun already set and gone. It's just not as atmospheric. Dinner lacks potential.
Okay, well, let's hear what Maddie's declaration of greatness about breakfast is all about.
Breakfast. It's the only meal where it's very acceptable to eat pancakes, donuts, and bacon on one plate. Who doesn't love that? Some fun breakfast facts for you. Eating in the morning actually helps your body better break down glucose, which is also called blood sugar. And who wants your blood to be sweet?
Blech.
I certainly don't. Now, that isn't actually how blood sugar works. But I'm going to go with it in favor of breakfast. Not to mention that breakfast energizes the body. People who eat breakfast show an increase in physical activity throughout their mornings compared to people who skip breakfast. Also, eating breakfast gives you a mental edge. Those stable glucose levels we talked about earlier helps your ability to focus, reason, and process information. Sure, dinner can say they're going to help you be the best at school, the best at sports, but it's actually breakfast giving you that foundation to start your day. So eat breakfast. Be a super smart, active superhero.
Ty, what did you think about Maddie's argument there?
Well, now I'm kind of leaning in for breakfast. I was leaning into dinner. I'm excited for the rebuttal.
Yes, let's hear Amy's breakfast rebuttal.
So just hearing about breakfast makes my skin crawl, you know. It's just such a lonely meal. Dinner can be eaten with your family, in front of your TV, with your friends, with anybody, but breakfast, it's kind of a solitary thing. And I feel like when you eat breakfast, you miss out on the community and the love and the happiness that dinner can give you. So I really think that dinner is just superior in that sense. And also, while breakfast may be the good start to your day, dinner is the preparation for your start of the day.
All right, Ty, they've given you a lot to chew over. Weigh the evidence and tell us which one is the smash boom best, breakfast or dinner?
Chew over? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Like that. Well, I think I'm going to have to go with dinner.
Why? Tell us why.
I was liking breakfast, but I like how dinner is just more food, better food. Although I like to have breakfast because I'm hungry when I wake up, I feel like dinner is always more variety.
True. Well, it has been decided. Ty thinks dinner won the breakfast versus dinner debate.
But we'd love to know what you think. It's a really tough call.
So go and vote on all four of these mini booms at smashboom.org. And if you'd like to send us your own declaration of greatness for one of these topics, write it down or make a video.
And practice your epic debate skills.
And that's it for our first ever mini boom bonanza. Go us! Boom!
Yeah!
Smash Boom Best is a creation of the people at Brains On and American Public Media.
It's produced by Rosie DuPont, Elissa Dudley, Mark Sanchez, Molly Bloom, and Sandon Totten.
We had engineering help from Laura Antonelli and Veronica Rodriguez.
And we had production help from Manica Wilhelm, Christina Lopez, and Lauren D.
Our announcer is Marley Feuerwerker-Otto, and we want to give a special thanks to Rebecca Freilich, Amanda Buckowitz, Veronica Simmons, Nikki Poole, Min Nguyen, Justin Koo, Austin Cross, Taylor Kaufman, Josh Holt, Max Nesterak, Melanie Renee, Evan Frost, and all the kids who sent in their debate suggestions, Eowyn, Camden, Neva, Sita, James, Eli, Everly, and Severin. And finally, we'd like to thank the Minnesota Urban Debate League, a nonprofit program of Augsburg University, which believes when kids learn how to have positive, healthy arguments, they are happier, smarter, and more powerful. Listeners, if you live in Minnesota and you're interested in becoming a member, just Google the Minnesota Urban Debate League. They'd love to argue with you. Ty, do you have any special shout-outs today?
Well, again, if you guys would like, check out my podcast, Ty Asks Why.
We love it. We endorse Ty Asks Why. And that's it for this episode of Smash Boom Best. We'll be back soon with another debate battle.
Farewell!
See ya!
Bye!
I would also really like to see a video of the pigeon playing ping pong.
Pigeon pong.
Pigeon pong.
Pigeon. Ping pigeon. I can't. No. Just cut that all out.
I enjoyed it.
Hey there. I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.